You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner in the studio, Dave Tindall live on Skype ahead of a couple of events this week. We've got the Scandinavia Masters on the European Tour and the culmination of the FedEx Cup playoffs on the PGA Tour. We finished things off in Eastlake with the Tour Championship. Dave Tindall joins me live on Skype. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very excited about the week, Mr. Tindall. How are you?
Yes. Have you got your head around it, the Tour Championship?
Well, I think I'll just be playing the market where it's the lowest 72-hole stroke wins, basically. So the lowest score on the week wins and take all the other permutations out of things in terms of the standings going into the week.
But will you know what's happening without...
No, I'll just wake up hopefully on Monday morning and see cash in my balance, Dave. That's the plan anyway.
You see, that to me isn't satisfactory enough for a bet. I want to know if I've won or I'm winning.
I think it will be pretty easy to work.
I don't want someone down at the bottom of the field doing me when I think I've won.
I think it'll be easy. I think it'll be easy enough to work out, won't it? You just have the starting strokes and then you go through the field basically.
I guess so, yeah. But we shall come on to that anyway.
Yeah, we'll come on to that shortly. Last week, by the way, Justin Thomas put on a show at Medina, didn't he? I mean, soft conditions for the tournament, and they ripped that place apart. And his round on Saturday was simply sensational. A 61 with a bogey and a penalty shot on a long golf course like Medina, which has hosted major championships in the past. It was... It just shows you cannot build a course long enough for these players.
Yeah, I mean, you feel almost sort of, well, that's a shame that they've just destroyed it, really. All that history and tradition, and they've just played it like it's a pitch and putt somewhere. And brilliant from Thomas, that 61, crazy good. And yeah, I don't know whether he was in our don't want to win, but we've obviously talked about him a lot, haven't we, in recent podcasts. Miss him, I think.
Yeah, it was very frustrating, wasn't it, seeing him win? Because if he'd have come 1 or 2 weeks earlier, we'd have been on. And he had been threatening that performance, and it all came together. And he had that. Well, everything went right for him on that Saturday. Brilliant play, but hold out for eagle on the back nine. It just the stars aligned for Thomas last week, and he showed his class.
Yeah, it was his week. I mean, a couple made a run at him on Sunday, so he still had to kind of fend them off, and I thought he did that very well. He is a very good front runner. I think others might have just buckled a bit when others are coming at them like that, but he just steadied himself and went away again. So yeah, full credit to him, and gets the number one seeding for this week.
I think I was more upset with what happened in the Czech Republic, in all honesty.
Dave. Great shout from you after all that. How do we pronounce his name?
Yeah, only to lose out by a short Adrian Aus to Thomas Peters, who was winning for the first time in 3 years, but obviously had won at the course before as well. He just didn't put well enough on the Sunday, and that cost him, basically.
Yeah. It was a funny week. So I had Gavin Green, who was brilliant for the first round and led the field. I thought, why didn't I do him first round leader? Not to worry, he'll still be there at the end. He went to pieces, and then your man took over. And yeah, weird that, Peters is such a frustrating character, and you think, you've backed Arnaus, and you're thinking, just do another Thomas Peters and, let him through and, miss putts and break your putter over your knee or something. But he didn't, he did. He held firm and won that tournament for the second time. And don't know what he does for me now. Does he kick on?
Well, we say that a lot of the time about Peters, don't we? I think he's got the talent to do so. And he's clearly got the application as well. And maybe, perhaps, we'll see if he finishes the season well, because It's a big end of season feeling for the European Tour, with the PGA Tour reaching its climax this week. The European Tour really takes over. But it is a low-key European event this week with the Scandinavian invitation. And the favourite is Henrik Stenson and Matthew Fitzpatrick at the top of the betting as well, both 8-1. Erik van Rooyen is 12-1 along with Alex Noren. Andrea Pavan is 18-1. Adrian Elson there at 30s along with Andy Sullivan. Jordan Smith and Joost Luiten and Robert McIntyre and Thomas Dietrich all 33-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. I get the feeling it's been given a real boost, this event, by the attendance of Henrik Stenson, who snubbed the FedEx Cup playoffs and opted to stay in Europe instead. What do you make to that decision? I think it shows that his health and well-being trump money, and to support an event that hasn't been able to attract a sponsor is pretty admirable, I think.
Yeah, good on him, really. He's been back there a while. I found a video with him speaking from the course. I thought, oh, great. But he said it in Swedish, so I don't know what he was talking about. But, yeah, it sounds like he's been back home a little while, and you do wonder if that 8-1's a bit of a snip, really, because the quotes, and looking back from last year, some of the stats, you need to hit the ball straight. That's what they were all saying. Get it in the fairway, and then from there you can attack. And
yeah,
we've seen Stenson in recent months just top all the driving accuracy stats. So 8-1, I think that smacks of each way bet to nothing for me, possibly.
Yeah, I suppose just the absence to overcome, slight absence, not being seen since the FedEx St. Jude, and maybe the fact that it's been a while for a win for Henrik Stenson as well. But yeah, as you mentioned, go on, Dave.
Yeah, that's why I was just sort of bringing that eight-wayness to the conversation there, really.
And as you mentioned, we have a little bit of to go on in terms of course form. The Hills Golf and Country Club opened in 2005 and hosted the event last year. And it's a very short course, only measures 6,865 yards and plays to a par of 70. There are plenty of elevation changes, but if you find fairways, there are many opportunities to score as well. And the only real defence for this course is the weather. It's quite exposed, so open to the elements. And even though it's set fair, or pretty fair for the week, Thursday and Friday could see some windy and rainy conditions. And I think over the weekend in sunnier, calmer conditions, plenty will be able to make a run from behind. So it's intriguing from that respect, and you might get a few closers on moving day on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is a strong front end. I mean, you look at Matt Fitzpatrick, he looks perfect for this course, and he's got a great record in this tournament, which I think we would previously know as the Nordea Masters. It's the, if you look through history, that it's just the name change this week, it's still that tournament. But as you say, only 1 year of course form, but I think from what we saw last time, I know Paul Waring won it and didn't drive it particularly straight, but I think he just had an incredible week with the putter. He held, is that 430-odd feet of putts or something? But the next two home were both top six for driving accuracy, and I think that maybe is a more useful guide to what we're looking for this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you mentioned Fitzpatrick there. His eyes will be on next week as well, won't they? Because he'll be going for another European Masters.
Yeah, that's right. And Rory's playing as well in Switzerland next week.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Make the market a little bit more juicier, possibly, for Fitzpatrick backers.
I've got two picks in this event.
Yes, me too.
Okay, you go first, Dave.
You're so kind every time, Dave.
Every
you say
single
that.
Time.
Yeah, what a gent. straight hitting, driving accuracy, looking for a decent price as well. The one I landed on was Aaron Rye at 50s.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice price for someone with all those attributes. He this year on the driving accuracy stats on the European Tour, he ranks ninth, which is no surprise because that's what he does. You look back to last year and I'm thinking, did he play? Yes, he played. Surely he did well. Yes, he did. He was 24th. A couple of 69s to start with. Just didn't get it going on the Saturday, but a nice 67 to close with. He's also got some form in Sweden at the Swedish Challenge. He was fourth there a few years ago, so seems to like going to that country. And I think what really jumped him off the page was that he was 12th at St Jude amongst a superb field. So that was a really big performance from him after a little run of missed cuts where he didn't really get it going on the links. But tied 39th in the Czech Masters doesn't look great, but I think maybe he's just getting back into the swing of things after a few weeks off. But that tied 12th at St Jude, that I do really like. We've seen him win in Hong Kong, which is a very short course as well. So I think all what you're looking for this week, it is at Hills. And I think Rye could easily have been a shorter price than here. So I thought 50s was definitely a pull-the-trigger one.
Yeah, I like it. Aaron Rye is Dave's first selection. I'm going with, I think it's going to be a big week for Robert McIntyre. He's 33-1. He's not anywhere near as high on the driving accuracy stats this season, but he is 26th in strokes gained off the tee. And I love his chance this week. He's already had a second place finish this season in Scandinavia when he was a runner-up to Bernd Wiesberger in the Made in Denmark, having finished second in the British Masters the week before. So he clearly enjoys exposed layouts that are open to the elements. This is one of those. And on the back of that those two performances, he was a brilliant six in the Open Championship. Had a pipe opener last week on his return for a month off, saw him finish 23rd in the Czech Republic, and I think that will put him spot on for this, and it looks just an ideal chance for the Scot to break his duck. And I thought 33-1 was more than good enough. Strong head of the market, as you mentioned. It means we've got a bit of juice in the price on McIntyre, so 33-1, I thought he was worth an each way bet.
Yeah, jolly good. Certainly one I looked at as well. I've got someone same price for my second pick. I wondered if you might have him as well. I think you put him up a few times. Thomas Detry.
Yeah.
At 33s. Again, back to this driving accuracy malarkey. I thought the last time we've really seen that as a big thing was probably Valderrama, which is always for the straight, tidy hitter. And Thomas Detry was 8th there, which is a very good performance. Started a little bit slow, was 74, then middle rounds of 68. So a top 8 finish and at the Andalusia Masters. I think if you look at that leaderboard, that could be useful for this week in general. But Detry was the one from there that I liked. As well as that, he's got course form here, which again makes sense if you're thinking he might play well on a course like Valderrama. Does he play well here? Yes, he was tied 13th last year. Three good rounds, just a little wobble with a 72 on the Friday, but three nice rounds from Detry. Been hitting his irons really well of late. Was second for greens in reg at Valderrama, fourth in the Irish Open. And then the X factor thing is obviously, which people go, oh, that's something, or that's complete tosh, but I'd like to think it is something. I think the X factor is that his mate won last week, Thomas Peters.
Yeah.
So who knows? The main reason for liking him is his course form and correlating course form. But I think that might just give him a little boost. And the one doubt is he's not played since the Scottish Open. But I was looking back, the last time he had kind of a month off, he came back with a 9th in Morocco. So I think we can handle that. So Thomas Detry at 33-1. He will win on the European Tour soon. And I think this is a good course to maybe catch him on.
Okay. Thomas Detry is the selection for Mr. Tindall, second pick. I'm going with an outsider as well, 66-1. I'm going to take a chance with a journeyman here. Lee Slattery is my yes, other selection. I think you can accurately describe him as a journeyman. It sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? But I think it's probably accurate.
You could spin it and say a good performer in these low key summer events might be a positive spin.
It's interesting as well that he has won a couple of times on the European Tour, so let's not take that away from him. And one of his wins on the Challenge Tour came in Sweden as well. And these are the types of tracks on which Slattery is going to thrive, a course that is not necessarily designed to reward power, but more the accurate types. And Slattery is definitely that type of player. And even though he only finished 39th last week, he opened with a 65 to sit just one back on Thursday. So his game is clearly in decent nick at the moment. And prior to that result last week, he'd finished 9th at the Scottish Open. And he also finished 10th at this course last year. He maybe won't win, but I think he could pick up some each-way cash, and 66-1 is a decent each-way price.
Yeah, I can certainly see this is the type of event to play him in, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. Who was closest away from the four we've gone for?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious front of the market ones. The one that I thought was maybe a big price you could play maybe in a side market or even the outrights at a big price was Jack Singh Brah.
Okay.
Probably never said him before, have we?
I don't think you've ever mentioned him.
Yes. He, just looking at his form again at that Valderrama leaderboard, he was 15th at Valderrama. Then he made cuts at the Irish and Scottish Opens, and he came back with a 14th in the Czech Masters last week. He's got good driving accuracy stats, 26 this year for DA. So just the fact that he's had a couple of top 15s in his last four starts, you could maybe play him in the top 20 market. I think he's 9-2 in that. Outright 1-2-5 or even top 10 at about 8. Might be a bit bigger actually, but he's someone who might just sneak through and be a bit of a surprise contender.
Yeah, I like Jordan Smith. He's 125-1, by the way, Jack Singh Brah. Jordan Smith is 33-1. He's one of the most talented players in the field, and he drives it so brilliantly. He should have plenty of opportunities this week. He had that sparkling run a few months back and could have won in Germany. He has missed the cut on his last two starts, and that's why he's 33-1. He might have needed to freshen up a little bit, so I think the break probably came at a good time for Smith. And I could see him bouncing back this week at 33s. And the other one, another Englishman, Beef, Andrew Johnston, yep. I thought could go well. He was 10th at the track last year, and I can see him obviously making it into the Open was so emotional for him. And I can see him finishing this season quite strongly.
Yeah, I can see that. The other one I looked at was Eduardo Molinari, who's playing lots of good golf at the minute, 14th last week. And the Czech Masters threatened to be better, but just fell away a little bit. But he's had top 10s at the BMW International Open, the Irish Open. They asked him last week what's going on. He says he's got some secret that he won't give away. So who knows what that is. But he's a deep
thinker about the game, though, isn't he? Every time there's any sort of debate on Twitter, he weighs in.
Yeah, and he likes to sort of think outside the box a little bit. He doesn't just sort of go with what everyone else goes with. So... hey, he's hitting the ball straight as well, so I thought 50s he could play well. Played here last year, made the cut, obviously in better form this time.
Yep. Okay, four selections for you to have a look at then on the William Hill website and on the app for the Scandinavian Invitation of 2019. Let's move on to the big event this week then, the Tour Championship. I'll spin you through the betting for the tournament winner, which includes the FedEx Cup starting strokes. We'll go through that in a second. Justin Thomas is 9-4 in that market. Patrick Cantlay is 9-2. Brooks Koepka 5-1. Rory McIlroy 8-1. John Rahm is 12s. Patrick Reed 16-1. Webb Simpson, Dustin Johnson, both 22. Xander Schauffele is 25-1. And it is 33-1 and bigger the rest. The top 30 in the FedEx Cup race get to go to the Tour Championship. And Justin Thomas, having won last week, heads the list, heads the FedEx Cup race. And he starts on 10 under par this week. Patrick Cantlay is second in that list, 8 under. Third is Brooks Koepka. He starts at 7 under par. Patrick Reed is fourth. He's 6 under par. Rory McIlroy is fifth. He starts at 5 under par. Then it staggers from there. 6th to 10th in the standings start at 4 under. 11th to 15th start at 3 under. 16th to 20th start at 2 under. 21st to 25th at 1 under. And 26th to 30th start at even par. And stats aficionado Justin Reyes has put the task of those ranked 26th to 30th into a bit of context. There have been 432 regular PGA Tour stroke play events this decade. Only two wins have come from 10 or more shots back after 18 holes. Obviously, it's slightly different given that we're going four rounds instead of three there with that stat, but basically there's plenty of traffic and quality ahead of those players ranked 26th to 30th in the FedEx Cup standings. And giving them a start, or giving Justin Thomas 10-stroke start, is a near impossible task.
Yeah, it does look that way. I mean, the other thing, the problem we've got, and maybe having said all this, we should maybe just put everything on Justin Thomas. The problem we've got, as well as him having a lead over everybody, he's got really good course form. He's 7th, 2nd, 6th in three goes at Eastlake. Obviously, he's the hottest player in the field, having won last week, so it's sort of rewarded a very current form. He's kind of the last player who needs a start, and yet he's got one. So it's all a bit strange. I mean, I've been sort of playing around with numbers and working out their kind of adjusted scoring average at Eastlake, and then their adjusted scoring average. That's the one that kind of takes into account field strength for the whole year.
Yeah.
And then adding in his start, and he wins by a mile.
Yeah,
basically.
I think Justin Thomas will be difficult to beat in that market this week. And he might well win the Tour Championship and win that $15 million as well. There's three problems for me with the format. The casual viewer might ask, where's Tiger? He won the Masters. Where's Shane Lowry? He's the champion golfer of the year. Are there too many points allotted for the two playoff events in the lead up to this one? Should we have all the major winners lining up at Eastlake? Those are a couple of questions. And
yeah, like you do at the in Hawaii, you sort of, you know, you win an event, you get in.
Yeah.
Some should maybe be, I don't know. If you're not in, they should. And you've won a major, that's an automatic pass.
I think I've read somewhere there are 22 winners this year on the PGA Tour that haven't made Eastlake and 11 non-winners that have. So
right.
You can say, is that right? And only three players move from out of the top 30 to inside the top 30 in the final playoff event. That seems like a very low number to me for a supposed playoff series and trying to make it like the... I don't know, like the NFL, where everyone's got a chance going into the playoffs. Clearly, they've not really.
Yeah, I mean, they could get lucky. They could get unlucky this week. If Thomas just plays great and wins by 10, they look stupid. If everyone else just sort of comes through and there's like five in a line at the finish,
yeah,
they might look a bit sort of justified. I certainly don't mind the idea that you know who's going to win it.
I think that's the best thing about this, because in years gone past, you've had, well, like last year, Tiger Woods wins the Tour Championship and the casual viewer's thinking, well, he must win the FedEx Cup as well. And then Justin Rose sort of works his way into fifth spot and wins it all and takes home $15 million. That doesn't seem quite right. So I can understand why they've adjusted the format. I just wonder whether the stagger is too large and whether the number of shots Thomas leads by to those guys in 21st to 30th is too much.
Yeah, I think that's I think inevitably we will see it tweaked again next year.
Mm. As for the course itself, Eastlake hosts again. It's an easy course if you're putting the ball in the fairway, but it's pretty penal if you do miss these fairways. A par 70, couple of par 5s on the layout, measures 7,350 yards. And it's Donald Ross design as well, so prospective punters will be looking to use that angle this week. And there are loads of markets on the website and on the app, and we'll try and get a couple of enhancements on our picks as well. That's something they said they'd look at this week, Dave. And we've got a two-ball specials as well. So, there's numerous markets to get involved from a betting perspective anyway.
Yeah, but you're not playing the normal. So you are playing the normal. You're not playing who's going to win the FedEx Cup, are you, with the starts?
I'm playing like that one in the market tournament winner without the FedEx Cup starting strokes. There's two markets, and they're pretty easily defined on the William Hill website.
So Thomas, because of his lead, he's 9-4 to win the FedEx Cup, but without the lead and everyone's playing off levels, he's 8-1, which
is
third favorite. Yeah, joint second favourite.
I'll just spin you through the betting in that market. Rory McIlroy heads the market there in the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup starting strokes at 7s. Brooks Koepka 8-1, Justin Thomas 8-1, John Rahm is 10-1, Patrick Cantlay 11-1, Dustin Johnson is 12-1, Hideki Matsuyama 16s, Webb Simpson 18-1, Ricky Fowler 18-1 and 20-1 and bigger the rest. And I think the interesting thing this week, Dave, will be after the week comes to its conclusion and I speak to the traders, getting a breakdown of the split in terms of which market attracts the most money as well this week. I think that will be intriguing.
Yes. Although, is there a bias there because of just the layout on the page? Because the including starting scores is top.
Yeah, perhaps.
Is there a chance people wouldn't see the other one?
I think generally the golf punter is quite a savvy sports bettor. You know what I mean by that? Yeah, savvy beast. So I think that I reckon that most people will bet on the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup starting strokes than the tournament winner including the FedEx Cup starting strokes. That's my gut feeling, but we'll find out more at the end of the week, I suppose.
That should be a hashtag your odds, which will take most money.
Have you got a bet in the event?
Yes, I've got. Well, just to sort of get us going, I am just going to put 2 points on Justin Thomas to win the FedEx Cup at 9-4.
Okay.
Just to kind of pay for my other bets this week, because I think, as I said, he doesn't need the lead. He's got a great record there. He's banging form. He's got a head start. And a bit of me wants to make it look silly that they've come up with this format by winning by about seven. So to cover that angle where there's no kind of drama, I'm just going to play him at 9-4, a couple of points.
Okay, 2 points win at 9-4 in that market. As I mentioned, I've gone with the tournament winner without the FedEx Cup starting strokes in that market. And just the one bet for me, I'm going with John Rahm at 10-1. Uh-huh. To shoot the lowest 72-hole score. I think Rahm deserves to cap off his season with another big win. And I think him starting six back is going to work favourably for the sort of player he is. He's winning the Irish Open, came from off the pace. And I think he relishes the challenge of coming from behind and having to attack. And he's shown his suitability to the golf course as well, having finished 11th and 7th in his two starts at Eastlake. And this course really rewards strong driving. I mentioned that finding the fairways is key here to finding these greens. And he might be driving the ball better than anybody in the game right now. And he's learned to put exceptionally well on Bermuda grass greens as well, which I think is a positive. And I can just see him finishing this season with a bang. Whether or not he'll be able to get to Koepka and get to Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay is open to debate, but I think he can definitely fire the lowest total over 72, and a 10-1 is fair, I think. So a point win on John Rahm in that market.
Just a point win, yeah?
Yeah, just a point win.
Yeah. I'm going to play one in that market as well. Tony Finau at 20s.
Okay.
The kind of basics are he was fourth last week, really good performance. Third at the Open Championship. So he does play well when the big guns gather. That seems to be when he's at his best. Fifth at the Masters as well early this year, which, of course, was in Georgia as well. Looking at his Georgia form, he's never been outside the top 15 in an event in Georgia, which mm-hmm. includes the Masters, this event, even the McGladrey Classic. He played well back in the day. Seventh here on debut a couple of years ago, was going better last year as well, but finished a little bit poorly to finish 15th in the middle of the pack. But I think he does like this course. I just wonder as well, because he does struggle to get over the line, will the kind of the idea that he doesn't really know he's going to win might help him?
Yeah,
you see
possibly.
What I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, it might just free him up a little bit, and he'll sort of win the who shoots the lowest score without quite realising. So 20-1 each way, I thought was a decent go.
Yeah, as long as we know on Sunday night, that's
yes.
the key. 20-1 Tony Finau in that tournament winner without the FedEx Cup starting strokes. A couple caught my eye in that market. Hideki Matsuyama is definitely won at 16-1. He just had complete control of his golf game, tee to green and with the putter last week. And anyone who shoots 263s in an event, especially around Medina, deserves a look the following week. And he's finished fourth and fifth here in two of his five starts. He's got a patchy record at Eastlake, but clearly can play the venue well. And Matsuyama, having played so well last week to finish third, was interesting. And Kevin yeah. Kisner, further down the list at 40-1. This is just a great setup for Kisner, and he's played well here before, finishing third a couple of years ago. He starts a mile back on two under par, but I thought 40-1 in that market without the start was worth a look as well.
Yeah, I certainly agree with Matsuyama there strongly. Paul Casey might be another one who again benefits from the idea of not really knowing where he is in terms of winning the whole thing, but winning the stroke play, lowest score, 25-1 he is in that market without FedEx Cup starts. So.
Yeah, he plays well on Donald Ross Designs as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a really good record here. First round leader as well, possibly for him as well. Yeah. What about Rory?
Yeah, I looked at his numbers last week. He wasn't quite in control over the weekend, which maybe is because he was out of contention by then. But he still had the opportunity to come with a run on Saturday, and I think a lot of people thought he might burst through the field and challenge, and didn't quite have his game on Saturday, but has a good record here. I thought Rory was short enough. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's 7-1 favourite in the without FedEx Cup starting, and he's 8-1 with. I'd probably rather play him in there just to win the FedEx Cup, because I think sometimes he gets on such a roll that he's either going to scoop the lot or he's going to finish down in the pack somewhere. So, the scenario where Rory just comes at Justin Thomas and then, you know, gets reward for such a strong, consistent year, I quite like that. There's another idea that Brooks Koepka's maybe just been holding something back for this week. And we'll just, you know, think of this week almost as a kind of mini major, another thing to tick off on his list of things to achieve.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
He's 5-1 just to win the FedEx Cup. I could see him. What does he start? 3 back?
Yeah, he's 3 back.
Could certainly see him kicking on from. I think he's just been biding time the last 2 weeks. So I could see him really knuckling down here.
He's not got a great record here, has he? But I think this is the one thing about this format. Listen, I don't mind the format. I'm not anywhere near as against it as some people on Twitter are. You'd think the world had ended the way some people talk about the format. I think it's a good thing that the winner this week will win the FedEx Cup. The only reservation I've got is the gap, basically, from Thomas down to Deschambeau, Oosthuizen, Charles Howell III, Lucas Glover, and Jason Kokrak. I think that gap is too big. That's my only reservation, because I don't think they can win.
Yeah, it seems more like a sort of 15, 18 man field, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Than 30.
Yeah, I think you've got. I think it's like like you said, a 15 man field, basically. Those guys at 3 under could win, possibly.
Yeah, it's a stretch, isn't it? Just back to Koepka, you say his record's not great. It's not bad, to be honest. He was sixth in 2017, all 4 rounds under par. And last year looks terrible, but he just shot a stupid round on Friday, 78.
Mm.
So I think the new improved, you know, gets what he wants, Brooks Koepka. I think he's dangerous this week.
Yeah, and do you think that this format will sort of play into his hands as well? Because he'll feel like he's hunting down Justin Thomas a little bit. And as you mentioned, it does feel like it might be a mini major for Koepka, and he's been working up to this week, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. My theory is, I think a very basic theory with Koepka is, in events where it ultimately doesn't matter that much, you don't back him. In ones that do matter, you do.
Yeah. Okay, so have we come to your end of your selections as well, Dave? You've just got Finau and Justin Thomas.
Yeah, so Thomas at 9-4 to win the FedEx Cup, and then Finau in the other market at 20s, which is a fifth top five, I believe.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yes.
Okay, Dave, let's recap the selections then for this week.
Yeah, so Tour Championship, 2 points win on Justin Thomas to win the FedEx Cup. And then I will go a point each way, Tony Finau, without the starting scores in the Tour Championship as well.
Yeah, and those are 20-1 Tony Finau and 9-4 Justin Thomas in the FedEx Cup, to win the FedEx Cup, basically, and win with the starting strokes this week. And in the Scandinavian Masters for you?
Yeah, I will go with Aaron Rye. I'll go a point each way at 50s, and also a point each way on Thomas Detry at 33s.
Yeah, I'm going 1.5 points each way, Robert McIntyre at 33-1. Yeah, I'm confident with Bobby McIntyre this week in the Scandinavia Invitation on the Masters. And Lee Slattery at 66-1. I'll play him a point each way. And in the Tour Championship, just the one pick for me, and it's in the market without the FedEx Cup starting strokes, and it's John Rahm, a point win at 10-1 in that market. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do check out the numerous markets on the William Hill website and on the app ahead of the Tour Championship. Plenty of enhanced odds and two-ball specials on there. And you can check those out, williamhill.com. And you can follow myself and Dave on Twitter as well. Please do that. At Dave Tyndall Golf is Dave's Twitter handle. Mine is at D Kellner. And make sure you check out all the betting for this week. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week for more golfing action. If you're having a bet this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.